Hello, welcome to Her Wild Side Hockey Podcast. I am your hostess, Mickey, aka Hockey She Wrote, and we are getting to the end of the season. Sadly enough, because we have not had a game when I'm recording now, Wednesday morning, we have not had a game for 4 days. And I'm not sure what I would have, like, so we had a snowstorm in those 4 days. I had sick kids. And so between that, like, yes, I was busy. But it's so weird to think of life without hockey. And that kind of segues into my first topic here, which is, can the Wild make the playoffs? And I know people are going to hear that right now and be like, absolutely not. You're completely delusional. I get it. I get your point. I do have a rational side of my brain that understands. but I also have my other side of the brain, which is just always going to be rosy colored, always positive. And until the numbers say that we aren't in the playoffs, I'm going to assume we're going to go to the playoffs. And that kind of goes back to what is a hockey season without playoffs? You know, this might be I don't remember what year they didn't. I mean, they've made it for the past how many years? 3 seasons at least. And so I don't know how to function in the late spring without playoff hockey. And like, obviously, I can watch another team. And yes, I will watch other teams. But it's just a very strange idea for me to think that the Wild might not make it. So I actually just wrote an article about this morning, just because I wanted to kind of put out there the things that I think of that are strong suits of the Wild, or that can help them if they really try to push through all of this. So first of all, let's see, there's 11 games left. 5 of those are against teams that the Wild should beat. Now, obviously, should beat is not going to beat. They still have to push and they still have to play hard, which someone commented like a week, 2 weeks ago about how it seems like the Wild, when they play a team that they should win against easily, it's like they lower their level of play to the other team. And so they might still win, but not easily. Whereas when they play the harder teams, like, yeah, they play harder, but it doesn't mean they win. But so 5 of those games are ones that they should win. We also, the Wild also play the Vegas Golden Knights twice. Now, obviously, we know that the Knights are the ones that are in the last playoffs, the last like wild card playoff spot right now. And that's who the Wild and the St. Louis Blues are chasing. If the Wild could win against Vegas in both of those games, that would be huge. That would be absolutely huge because, you know, in these games that are in our division, they are almost 4-point games, you know, because not only are our team getting 2, but the other team doesn't get any, you know, so it almost like takes 2 away from them. So we've got that. If we can beat Vegas, and I think when I looked at our record, we did last time. We beat them in Vegas. Yes, we beat them in Vegas 5-3. So we can do it. We've done it before. We can do it. We also are getting our Swedish boys back. It looks like Joel Eriksson Ek and Jonas Brodin will maybe play tomorrow. I'm trying to like bench all of this because John Hines has been very like, he doesn't want to say like 100% they're going to be playing, which I get that. But I feel like, you know, I think both of them have skated in 2 full team practices, both today and yesterday. That seems like a really good sign that they are going to be coming back. And we need them. We absolutely need them because the blue line has been trying, but they're getting tired, man. And if you put Brodin back in there, that's already going to just strengthen it. And then you throw Ek up back on the top line, which number one, they are like in the top 20 most producing lines in the league. But also he is just so defensively minded that it's going to lift everything else up. So that is huge. Getting the Swedes back is huge. Now, goaltending has been a struggle. The Gus bus has been a struggle bus. And I know that he knows that. He's given interviews that he knows that he's not on his game. He knows that people hate inconsistency. You know, you have to know how a goalie is going to play behind you. Right now, Marc-Andre Fleury, everybody knows how he's going to play behind the team. His style does not change. And honestly, he might have an off game, but he's still playing the same way. And he's got a winning record right now, Fleury. And Gustafsson, there are some people out there that are willing to give up on Gustafsson. And I don't think that is a good idea at all. Here's the thing. He is still pretty young. And I'm pretty sure, I'm looking up right now because I'm pretty sure that this is correct, but I want to make sure I have the right age for him because I am pretty sure he is still young enough that it would be really, really dumb to give up on a goalie, especially because we have seen that he has the ability to play games, I mean, put up numbers that are Vezina level, Vezina Trophy level. Oh, shoot. So let's see. He is, I clicked out of it right as I was going to see. Yeah, he's 25. You guys, he's 25. He's going to turn 26 this year. That is still young. You know, I don't think the answer to some of the problems this year is to simply trade away. Because say that you trade Gustafsson away. Okay, say you re-sign Fleury. Great. Even though Fleury is playing well, he's not going to be here forever. He's not going to be in the NHL forever. And even if he's still playing great, he might just come to a season where he just decides to retire. He's got a young family and he wants to be around. So it's, you know, how many years down the line do you think he's going to stay? And yes, we've got Wallstedt. He should be up maybe two seasons. Okay, so once Fleury's gone and Wallstedt is here, then what do we do? If we don't have Gustafsson, what do we go out? You know, who do we go out and get? We have to remember that once this salary cap is, you know, once we get that 14, 15 million back in the salary cap, we have quite a few players that are going to be due for big, big paydays. Faber, who I know they were just talking about what his new contract could look like. We've got, Kaprizov is going to come up for, you know, his next paycheck and he will get a raise. And then we've also just got guys who right now are on their ELC, but who's Nadinov? You know, if he is playing as well as we know he can and he gets to that level, they're going to sign him to some, you know, a bigger, probably not huge because I think he's kind of middle six, but a bigger paycheck. And we have all sorts of other prospects that are expected to come up and eventually are going to want to sign. So where do you get another goalie with the potential to play a tandem without drafting them? And even if we wanted to draft one, it's going to be hard. We lucked out. The Wild lucked out by getting Wallstedt. Honestly, like lottery number, you won the lottery. We got Wallstedt. I don't think we can count on that happening again. There are only so many goalies out there that are going to be able to play at an NHL level. So trading Gustafsson is not the answer. He showed that he can do stuff. We need to give him time to get back on it. I think it's also important. I remember the beginning of the season having an argument on social media about hockey players are humans. They have a life outside of the rink. They have families. They have partners. They've got kids, they've got pets, they've got, you know, extended parents and whoever. They have a family and they have a life. And while their job is to be able to come to the rink and try to shut that off, they are human. You know, if you just experienced, you know, your grandpa had a heart attack, you're probably going to go to work and not be able to function as well. But it's the same, you know, it's the same as other people going to work. Yes, you try, but it's always going to be in the back of your mind. And with Gustafson specifically, he just became a dad. And that is very, very different. I can tell you, as someone who has had children, it is incredibly hard to describe all of the changes, because I can tell you the changes, but unless you have actually like felt them, you are not going to understand. You're not going to understand because it's different. I'm not going to get into this whole like, no, parenthood is not for everybody, blah, blah, blah. Everybody gets tired sometimes. So I'm just saying, you know, it just, I'm thinking back to my first baby did not sleep. And I was so tired. And it was a different kind of tired. I've been tired. I've stayed up. I've been tired. But this was like a different kind of tired, because while I just wanted to sleep, I unfortunately had this tiny thing completely dependent on me for everything. So it's just this different experience, because I get the sense that Gustafson is probably a pretty hands-on dad. He seems like that's how he would be. So when he's home, he's probably very hands-on. And I can see where then lack of sleep, just getting used to changes in your life, that's going to take a toll. All right, we'll move on, because I feel like this always, you know, people always delve into this like, oh, parenthood and martyrdom. And it's like, that's not what I'm going for here. I'm just saying that I think that might have affected Gustafson more than he thought it would. Okay. All right. So as we are sitting here making the push to the playoffs, we have 11 games left. And I'm scrolling around to find my thing. If you would like to go to any of the Wild remaining home games or away games, I suppose, will you please use our link in our QR code to get them via Ticketmaster? This is one way to support Her Wild Side Hockey podcast, to support the Inside the Rink podcast network, and just a way to do something that you are already doing, but kicking a little bit of money back to us. Because again, I always want to make sure people understand that an affiliate link like this does not mean that you are paying extra through it. It means that the chunk of profit that Ticketmaster would normally take, they take some of that and they kick it back to whoever's link it is. So you are not paying anything extra. That was always something I talked about before, that I ran a mommy blog. And that was always something that people didn't understand, like were concerned about. So it's like, no, I'm not asking you to pay more. Don't worry. So anyway, that link is in my show notes. And there's also the QR code here in the video if you are watching on YouTube. And now we're going to get to some fun stuff. I feel like we're doing a little bit of, you know, they talk about the compliment sandwich, where you like say something good, something bad, something good. Mine's kind of the other way around. So we talked about, you know, maybe not making the playoffs. Now here's a fun, good part. On social media just today, there was talk of being in school and the teachers assigning you something to read over the summer break. And people were like, well, what would you assign different players? So I racked my brain and I tried to come up with a book for every single player. And I was successful. I do have one for every player here. And most of them make sense. I mean, because I'm sorry to some of the guys, I feel like I just don't know them well enough to really match a book. But like, you know, here, have a book. Like here, you can still, this is an entertaining book, read the book. So I'm going to start with some of our favorite young boys. Matt Boldy and Brock Faber. Now, Faber has said that he does not read. I also get the feeling that Boldy does not read. So what I did is I assigned each of them a classic book. So Boldy, I have A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. And Faber, I have Treasure Island. And if anyone is also someone who loves Muppets, then you will understand that I have assigned them books that the Muppets remade into movies. So if they are having trouble, they read it and they didn't understand, all they have to do is pop in the Muppets and they'll get it. Jonas Brodin, I match with Wuthering Heights. I mean, he's got kind of that quiet, like, seriousness. I feel like he would just kind of connect with the darker side of it. Zach Bogosian, I picked 11/22/63 by Stephen King. And it is very long, which I know would be a total blockage for most hockey players, most likely. But I just feel like he would get a kick out of the whole, like, alternate timeline, conspiracy theory kind of side of things. It seems like that would fit. Declan Chisholm, he talked about how he listens to folk in the car. And that just, it's kind of like, I don't want to say he's our new doer, but kind of, that's kind of the player that I thought would appreciate a novel like Rebecca. Again, just a classic sort of darker novel. And I feel like he would be one to get into it. Joel Eriksson Ek, he is haunted. The poor man is haunted. So I picked a book that does have some, obviously, bad things happen. I mean, it's not, you know, we're not reading Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm here. The Poisonwood Bible. Because let me tell you, it's a thick book, but the story goes so fast. I'm a fast reader, but when I first picked it up, I thought it would take me a while just because it was big and it was summer. I clipped right through that thing. Like, it's a good story. It's really entertaining. Yes, bad things happen, but, like, I didn't want to give Eck any of the gothic novels because I feel like he would be really affected by that. Marcus Foligno, I picked Pride and Prejudice. He seemed like one that would like just a classic romance tale. Marc-Andre Fleury, I picked Dracula. He gives off vampire vibes, I think. I don't know. I feel like maybe part of that is just the way he is always immaculately dressed and his hair is always, like, immaculate. I thought that Dracula kind of went with that. Freddie Gaudreau, we all know he's going to become a dad in the near future. So I picked a book it's not that it's long. It's maybe just a little bit difficult. It's a little bit of a slog because you have to really be paying attention, which is House of the Spirits by Isabel Allende, which, I mean, her books are top notch. So it felt like, you know, as he's sitting there, he's going to be hands-on dad too. As he's maybe rocking baby to sleep, taking the nighttime shift, he can read the book. You know, it's a good book. Now, Alex Goligoski is seemingly already retired, except in name. So I gave him a thicker book of 100 Years of Solitude. Again, thicker. Really, you need to pay attention, but it's a good book. Philip Gustafson, The Hobbit, or The Lord of the Rings trilogy. Really, any of those. Something by J.R.R. Tolkien. Do I have to explain that one? Because I don't think I do. Ryan Hartman, I feel like he would really enjoy Lord of the Flies. But I feel like afterwards, someone would have to talk to him about, like, why it's problematic, right? Because I think that he could get really into, like, rat mode with that. Now here, Marcus Johansson, I don't know him that well. You know, nothing good or bad, nothing against him. I just don't really know him. So I picked Gone with the Wind. And again, someone's going to have to talk to him about how problematic it is and, like, why it is both a great novel but also a terrible novel. Because let's be real, it is, if you've read Gone with the Wind, it is actually I enjoyed it. You know, I enjoyed the story. I enjoyed how much of a, you know, how much both of the main characters, like, they're both really crappy. And you don't really know who you're rooting for, because, like, the one person that you really root for ends up dying. Like, ugh. Anyway. But yeah, it's problematic. Now, Murat Huznadinov, he has a grasp on English, which is great. But, you know, I kind of went back and forth for a long time trying to think of, I don't want to throw him something that's super hard, but I also want to make sure that, you know, everyone else is getting kind of like books that are classics or books that are well-known, books that lots of people read. So I wanted to make sure it wasn't something like super like infantile and also not super like unknown. So what I ended up picking was the collected works of Emily Dickinson, because her poems are usually short. They don't necessarily have kind of those flowery prose. So I'm thinking right now of, I saw a fly when I died. And if, you know, death could not stop for me. I'm trying to, it's been a while since I've read them. Titles, she didn't really title her stuff. That's also the problem. But I feel like that is something that he could understand, maybe with like a little bit of help. Which, I mean, hey, Huzni, if you want to have a book club, I would love to get together. I would discuss Emily Dickinson with you, because I was an English major, so I got it. Kirill Kaprizov, he is so smiley and he is so happy. So I did not want to bring him down with something super tragic. So I picked Little Women, because again, sad things happen, but it's generally a happy, positive kind of a story. Jake Lucchini. Again, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lucchini. I feel like I don't know you very well, but I picked The Odyssey. I think you can handle it. It just, you know, The Odyssey is just a great, epic story, a good adventure. And while it may be a little bit difficult to understand, there's so many stories like within it that have kind of filtered out through other media. Vinny Letteri. We all know his background. So I thought, what's something that could have to do with that? And I came up with The Great Gatsby. Because is there not this is not the worst story about wealth and how it affects people. And yeah, I'm just going to leave it there. Jake Middleton. First, I was going to pick, was it The Art of Fixing Motorcycles? But I thought that felt a little on the nose, and also I have not read it. So I picked something that will keep his attention, because I feel like he's got a shorter attention span. And again, it's exciting, which is First Meetings in Ender's Universe. Ender's Game is part of that. It's, I believe, three interconnected stories. I enjoyed it when I read it. It may be a kid book, but it's not really for kids. It's for everybody. Dakota Mirmes, he has been a journeyman. He has been through a lot. And he's also got some young kids. I thought that maybe he could read together with them. They could read Journey to the Center of the Earth. Just a fun Jules Verne, I believe, story about, you know, just a sci-fi adventure story. Back before people really knew what was going on in the center of the earth. But do we really know? John Merrill, 1984, just felt like something he would enjoy. Marco Rossi, I kind of went back and forth with him, because I'm going to be honest, I think that he is probably one of the most book smart players on the team. There's lots of different types of intelligence. We're not going to delve into that, but just the most book smart. So I figured I could give him something a little bit tougher. So I ended up giving him Frankenstein, because it's an amazing story and it is an amazing book altogether. But it was written at a time where it's difficult language, you know, and just trying to kind of piece things together. I feel like he could be someone who would actually sit down and like delve into it. We're getting to the end here, just so you know. Mason Shaw, once again, is this a little too on the nose? I picked Animal Farm. Animals, I feel like he's going to be all in and he's going to be like, yes, I will read this book. It is about animals. Jared Spurgeon. Now, he's got some time where he is still recovering. I'm not sure. I mean, I think he just had his second surgery last week or something, I believe. And he's also got a lot of kids. So I figured he and his kids can maybe have a little book club where they read Harry Potter. And we are, let me just address, the author is incredibly problematic. Please do not give her any money by buying any of her products. What you can do is you can find Harry Potter books secondhand. You can borrow them from a friend because they're still worth a read. Let me tell you that. The Harry Potter series is worth a read, well written for the most part, and enjoyable. But we do not want to give any money to her. And lastly, Matt Zuccarello. Now, I felt like beneath those crazy eyes, he was also very book smart. So I gave him Norwegian Wood by Haruki Murakami. Because it is, again, difficult. Also, he's Norwegian. Again, maybe a little on the nose, but I couldn't help it. And then the whole team, if I was going to give something for the whole team to read, I couldn't think of something that was going to be like, rah, rah, be a team, rah, rah, be friends. So instead I thought, what are some things that I could get them to read that are short, but like will wow them? So I came up with two short stories, The Yellow Wallpaper and The Lottery. Both just amazing pieces of short prose, enough to keep you around, surprise you, be enjoyable. You know, it just, I would love to hear their takes on those. All right, so I am going to kick it over to the quick little 1 minute commercial that I play for ESPN Plus. And after that, I have one more serious topic and one more fun topic. So I will see you in 1 minute.
Thank you for watching the show. If you enjoy our podcast and want to support the show, consider signing up for ESPN Plus via our link at insidetherink.com/ESPN or scan the QR code on your screen now. I have ESPN Plus and I personally love all the college sports, UFC, MLB, and NHL games all across ESPN platforms. Over 1,000 out-of-market NHL games are on ESPN Plus every year. Make sure you hit the QR code or go to insidetherink.com/ESPN to make sure you don't miss out on any of this year's NHL action. And if that wasn't enough for you, ESPN Plus is currently offering a bundle of ESPN Plus, Disney Plus, and Hulu for $14.99 a month. You get sports, the kids get Disney, and Hulu is the added bonus. It's the perfect bundle. I personally have it, and I don't know what you would do without it.
Welcome back. So I'm going to touch on this really quick. I did not watch the video about the guy who is ragging on Zach Hyman and his 50 goals, which had a lot of weird political takes that people were taking from it. And again, I didn't watch it. But the point that he was kind of inappropriately making at that point in time, that part stands, which is that to succeed in hockey, you have to have money. There is a barrier of entry to hockey. And let me tell you, so I am a hockey mom. My son has played for 2 years now. He's little. And the one thing that I really like about our like our club that we're zoned into, is that they make it very affordable for mini mites. For mini mites. Because they want to draw children in. And when they are that young, also, at least my son didn't grow very fast, so he was able to use the same gear for 2 years. You know, we bought a new stick, but nothing else. So yes, you know, it's not always super expensive. At the same time, I looked into maybe putting my daughter on like a U10 team, and she's never really played hockey, so we didn't end up going with it. But looking into just the cost of it was so prohibitive that was the sticking point for us. That was the sticking point. It's always been this way. My dad always wanted to play hockey, and he was never able to. He grew up in a family with 7 children. They were a traveling army family. And while they had enough money to get all of the basics, they definitely did not have enough to buy a full hockey kit. So when my brother was born, my dad was really excited to have him try hockey. And my brother fell in love with it. You know, I've talked about, we've traveled all over with him. He played, you know, he still plays on a beer league when he can. But the fact is that my dad would specifically work extra side jobs. He would take on extra work because he is a construction worker. He would take on side projects that he wouldn't normally. He would work longer than he would normally, specifically to pay for my brother's hockey equipment. And, you know, as an adult now, we understand how loving that is. At the same time, not everybody can just work extra. That's not how life works for everybody. And so it's tough to see people try and play off like money does not have anything to do with success in hockey, because it does. Now, the Minnesota Wild, and I'm sure lots of other teams, have initiatives to try and bring hockey to underserved communities. They have, you know, the Minnesota Wild have all sorts of sled hockey and special hockey and blind hockey. And they have, you know, they help sponsor like all the different other little teams and to try and help, try and get them some gear to try it out and to try and kind of get some passion and see. But it's still tough. I also think that Minnesota does it right in the sense that it's high school hockey. We don't have juniors. We have high school hockey. And so you can have kids go all the way up through 12th grade without having to necessarily leave home. Now, kids still do, but they don't have to. They can play for their local team. And they can still, you know, they can do hockey in the offseason at whatever camp or wherever they want to go. Whereas in other places, once you get to like junior age, it's like, well, you're done now. So this turned into a little more of a ramble than I wanted to. But I just want to say that if you think that the social class that a family is in doesn't affect a child playing hockey, I think you need to reevaluate yourself and your biases. One more fun thing before we go, which is the quick little, you know, this happens kind of once a month, once every 2 months, where someone kind of like reminds everybody that like, hi, hockey players, like, or even just sports players, whatever, in general, see your social media stuff. They send it to each other. They laugh at it. They whatever. So I've always tried to be very like, I might be silly and goofy, and I might be like giggly little girl sometimes, but like I try not to be disrespectful. But I'm going to say my my most running thing right now that I really hope that he has seen, because I feel like he's listening, is Eck and his curls. Because usually he does not leave his hair this long for this span of time. So, Eck, if you are listening, thank you. We love your curls. And keep it up, because I think that's why you're on a heater. So, one more reminder that down in the show notes, I will have the Ticketmaster link. I will have the link for ESPN Plus. I will have a link to my merch shop if you would like any merch. I will have a link to the article I wrote this morning about the Wild and playoffs. And other than that, I need to wrap this up because it has gone long. So, thank you if you've gotten to this point. Thank you for listening to my rambles. I love you all very much. Hot Girl Hockey Club is for everybody. Thank you for joining me, and I will see you next time.